who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, it is a very, very great day in a believer's life. Sayyidul Ayyam, it is the leader of all the days of the week, this day of Jumu'ah. So Allah Ta'ala has given it to us, we must appreciate it, grab it, take it with two hands, make it a special day. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that our last day of this earthly life is this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. When a man gives Jumu'ah its importance, he takes care of this day of Jumu'ah, he shows it and he gives it extra regard. He doesn't regard it as just another day of the week, and he looks at his time just before 12 o'clock and he thinks, now I need to close up my shop, I need to leave the business, let's go, it is the time of Jumu'ah. No, but that is a mental preparation that has already started. From the morning he's already know that today is Jumu'ah. I must be there early in the masjid, I must be there prepared for this Jumu'ah Salah. It must be a different day, it is a special day for me. So when a man has got that mental preparation, it makes it very, very easy for him to come and be part of this Jumu'ah. And it also makes it very easy for him to look after this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. So psychologically he knows that Allah has given me this day of Jumu'ah, so I must look after it, I must preserve it. Let my eyes not go into those places where it shouldn't be going. Let my ears don't listen to those things that I shouldn't be listening to. Let my tongue be careful. Today is a great day. And a man looks after this day and he takes care of it. Ulama explained that very often Allah gives him the day of Jumu'ah. Why? Because he gave this Jumu'ah a very great, a high pedestal in his life. It wasn't something that just came and went, but it was something that was very special. There was a very great alim by the name of Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. He lived in Madinah Sharif. He lived in Madinah Sharif and he passed away also in Madinah Sharif. He would give advice to South Africans that were coming there. He would tell them, see, you are living in a country that is a non-Muslim country. And when you live in a non-Muslim country, generally your children also are growing up there, you are there, you are getting affected by the environment around you. And this is natural. When a person is in a certain environment, therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Al-mar'u ala dini khalili. A person is upon the way, upon the creed, upon the styles of his friends. If you want your son and your children to move away from the styles that they are currently in to a more deeny environment, more deeny style, more deeny way, very simple recipe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us, that see who their circle of friends are. If their circle of friends are such that they are conscious of deen, automatically they will also be conscious of deen. And this also applies to us. If we are moving in a circle that is constantly chasing after money, is constantly speaking about investments, constantly speaking about this property, this overseas trip, and that overseas trip, then we also will start thinking like this. One of the beauties of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wahshurni yawm al-qiyamati ma'a zumratil masakin. Oh Allah, allow me to live with the poor. Allow me to die with the poor people. Wallah, allow me to rise up on the day of Qiyamah with the Jamaat, with the group of the poor people. Why? Because when you are with poor people, generally your mind is not going too much as far as the dunya is concerned. And when you are generally in a rich circle, in a circle of wealthy, affluent people, all the time the talk is business, the talk is money, the talk is investments. Very little the focus is on akhirat. Very little the focus is on the khabar. What is going to happen to me in the khabar? Am I prepared for this khabar? There was a very great personality. On one occasion, he went to visit someone and he left him with a message. And Allah Pak give us the tawfiq also. When we speak to our children, we speak to our friends, we speak to our neighbors and our musallis, etc., ask ourselves, what is our discussion? If we have to go outside the masjid, are we going to start speaking about the soccer score? Are we going to start speaking about cricket? Are we going to see who's the highest on the log and who's the second and what's the transfer rate, etc.? Is that going to be our talk, or is our talk going to be the talk of deen? So here you find that these pious people, what they would do is, wherever they went, they left people with a message. So he went to visit one person, and this person was busy fixing up a globe in his veranda. And when he went to visit him, this person said, you see, I'm quite busy at the moment, I won't be able to see you at this time because I'm fixing up one globe in this veranda of mine. So he said, listen, I appreciate that you are busy, I won't disturb you in your busy time, but I want to leave you with one message and then I'm going. He said, no problem, you can leave me with one message. He said, don't forget to put a globe in your cupboard. that one day you're going to go in the qabr, that qabr is going to be dark. It's going to be surrounded from all sides, from the left, from the right, from the front, from behind, from the top, from the bottom. What effort have you made to light up your qabr? Yeah, you're looking after your veranda, it must have a light. What about the light in the qabr? So this is something which is a reality, and a person who has got, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained, Al-Kayyishu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. An intelligent person is that person that puts a, or suppresses his nafs, his desires. His desires want to take him into all the wrong places, want to take him everywhere else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides deen. So he suppresses himself. Man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. This person's preparations, this person's actions, this person's effort is going for akhirat. In other words, he's living in this world, no doubt he needs to make an effort for the world, he'll do that. But primarily his objective, his style, his ways is to preparing for akhirat. And when a man's preparation is for akhirat, his life and his aspirations is akhirat, then what happens is you'll find that even if he has to get so-called shocking news, so-called surprising news, or news that is pressurizing to any person, immediately this thing doesn't sadden him, it makes him happy. Now let me give you an example. Very often nowadays you hear people that are getting diagnosed with different sicknesses. Sometimes we haven't heard of this before, that a man is healthy, he's well, and when he goes for a diagnosis, either he's got cancer or he's got some type of chronic illness, he's got some sickness now that he never expected to find. There's two types of reactions you'll get upon getting this news. One is a reaction of an absolute shock, that I didn't expect this. At this young age, I'm diagnosed with cancer. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us. At this young age, I'm diagnosed with this sickness and that sickness. So what happens, this mind is not programmed. Because this mind is not programmed, this now becomes a shock to a person. And sometimes the family also doesn't know how to react. Everyone is in a sudden state of shock. But a man whose effort is akhirat, every day, every night, he woke up in the morning thinking about death. He went to sleep thinking about death. His du'as also, he was making du'a for qabr, he was making du'a for jannat, he was making du'a for akhirat. When that type of person gets the message, it's like a person that's waiting in the departure lounge. Person's waiting for his flight, for example, he's in transit. We're all in this world, we are in a transit lounge. We came from akhirat, we are here in transit and we're going back to akhirat. So actually we came from Alami Arwah and then we came into this world and now we're going to an akhirat. So we got one leg of the journey, which is this journey. And the person is here in this journey and now he's waiting for his flight. So he, for example, he's in Dubai airport. And now that flight is 8 hours away, for example. And now as the time is getting closer, now there's just 2 hours, there's 1 hour. Now he gets happy or he gets sad that my flight is about to come. No person gets sad, he's getting happy that I'm here for a journey and I'm getting closer to reaching my destination. A man who's got his destination as akhirat, when he gets news like this, he doesn't get sad, he gets happy. Oh Allah, that destination which you sent me in this world for, I'm about to reach that destination. I'm not shocked, I'm accepting it, and not only accepting it, oh Allah, there's some type of internal comfort, there's some type of internal happiness. That is how a Muslim thinks, that I'm here in this world for a very short while and I'm going into akhirat. So just to tie it up with this topic that we've got today, this topic, this month of Ramadan that is coming, what is the objective of the month of Ramadan? And the ayat of the Quran is describing it as ayyama ma'dudat. It is just a few days, it is just a few moments that will pass. It will come and it will go. Before we know it, we'll get the news of the moon of Ramadan that has been sighted. And before we know it, we'll get the news, inshallah, that the month of Shawwal has now come. The month after the month of Ramadan has come. It will be very, very quick. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Intelligent is that person that prepares for it. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we'll just explain this hadith, which teaches us something. That what should our mindset be? Unfortunately, we are caught up in this world. Our mindset is, every person is such that his mindset is thinking that I'm going to live very, very long. Not too long ago, there was two partners that had come. They had a dispute, business dispute. Both of them were approximately 85 years old. So one partner is telling me that what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take this other partner to the cleaners. And if I have to take him to court, I'll take him to court. So both partners are sitting there, but there's one partner, both of them are 85. That one is telling him, but you got one leg on the banana peel, how are you going to take me to court? So I told him, by you all at the same age, you know. So both of you all got your legs on the banana peel, but life is such that you feel that you're going to live very, very long. So Allah Ta'ala has made it such that those people that are in a dhoka, those people that are in a constant loss, they're in a constant state of confusion, they feel that we're going to live very long. This is one of the plots of shaitan. وَلَا أُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَا أُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. I will misguide them, he's taking an oath, and I will definitely give them long, long aspirations. A man is sick also, he's also thinking that I'm going to live very, very long. I'm going to see many, many janazas, but my janaza is not going to come now. It's still very far away. This is one of the plots of shaitan. And what is the thinking that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us? In one hadith, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu is the narrator of this hadith. He said that a man came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked for advice. Beautifully, he said, "Izni wa ujiz." Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, give me advice and keep it concise. Now people like me and you, our systems are such is that we can't take too much. And the reason why we can't take too much is because we're already flooded with all sorts of information, whether it's social media that we are listening to. We'll go in the car, the radio will be on, the person will be listening to all sorts of things. He'll go home, in the background is some radio that is playing. Allah forgive us. In some places the television also is playing. Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. But flooding has been coming. When a person eats too much, what happens? For example, he goes home now, and instead of eating little bit, a person overeats. And he eats and he eats. And whatever he can see in front of him, he pushes. He'll suffer from indigestion. It doesn't matter how strong a person is, but if he keeps eating and he overeats, then what will happen is he'll suffer from indigestion. There's a cool drink that you get. I see nowadays it's even imported in South Africa. You get it before, it was only you'll get it in the Middle East. So this cool drink is called Shani. It's got a tropical taste. Some people like it, some people don't like it. But however, the older people generally, they like it. So Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi would give an example from this cool drink. See, these pious people, what they do is they'll take something that you can relate to and they'll give a practical example so it comes in front of you. So he said, you see, this cool drink called Shani is, it's enjoyable, it's tasty, those people that like it, they like it. But if you drink it in its right quantity, then Shani will remain Shani. But if you take it and you push too much of Shani, then that Shani will become Pareshani. In other words, now you've got to worry about your diabetes, you've got to worry about your sugar levels, you've got to worry about all sorts of things. Why? You overdid it. So this system of ours is such, Allah has created it such, that it can take only so much of food. Like that, the mind is such, it can take only so much of information. Therefore, we are actually doing ourselves a disservice when we think I'm joining this group and I'm joining that group and I'm joining this group and I'm listening to this talk and I'm listening to that talk and I'm listening to everyone. We are just flooding ourselves. We don't know how to digest it. It's like that person that is eating that biryani and is eating that dal and is eating the halwa and eating the sweet rice and he's pushing the ice creams and he's pushing everything. System can't handle it, so it suffers from indigestion. Like that, our systems, as far as deen is concerned, we don't continuously push it with all sorts of information. We are very, very careful. This is not something that should be done for entertainment. Allah Ta'ala protect us nowadays such that a person is even invited to the walima, that there must be a talk there at the walima. There must be one kirat there at the walima. Whereas walima, the sunnah of walima is to feed. That is the sunnah of walima. It is such a talk, and there must be a nazam, and there must be background music, and then the food must come. All that is there, all extras that have been added on. So we have unfortunately flooded ourselves more than we can even manage. So therefore we can't digest this. So anyway, this sahabi came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Izni wa ujiz." Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advise me please and keep it concise. How beautiful. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him three advices. The first advice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him, "Idha qumta fi salatika fasalli salata muwaddi'in." That when you stand up to perform your salat, perform the salat of a person that is bidding farewell. In other words, have that mindset that this is my last salat. If a person is thinking that this, for example, we are performing Jummah salah, and we think that this is my last Jummah salah, how will that Jummah salah be? Will it be like any other Jummah salah? We are standing there, we're thinking about business, we're thinking about the cricket score, soccer score, a person is thinking about what he's going to eat after Jummah. It will be a very, very different, it will be a focused namaz. It will be a namaz that he's connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my last Jummah. So how will a person perform it? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, when you're performing every salah, think that salah to be your last salah. From this, ulama expand and they take an example for us, or they take a message for us, is that when you are going or you're doing any action, whatever action it may be, good action, think this to be your last good action. and see that level of importance you will give it. So for example, this Mubarak month of Ramadan is coming, automatically we programming ourselves that this is my last Ramadan. I want it to be different. I don't want it to be such that it just comes and I go through the phases and it finishes. I want this Ramadan to be a power-packed Ramadan in terms of my actions. I want to give more time to the masjid. I want to give more time to the Quran Sharif. I want to give more time in Salat. I want to give more time in those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I would give charity, I'll give more charity because now this is my last Ramadan. If I take out my zakat before Ramadan, I'm already starting working out, calculating, etc. what my zakat will be. When my zakat date comes, then I'll get my final calculation and I'll discharge my zakat. So I'm working everything out as though this is my last Ramadan that is coming. I don't know whether I'll see another Ramadan. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the ploy of shaitan? Wala umanniyannahum. I will definitely grant them hopes. You're going to see many, many more Ramadans. Don't worry. Enjoy yourself. Don't get too serious about life. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, get serious about good deeds. Don't just be casual about it. When a person's eyes close, he'll appreciate all these moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. So just in these next few minutes, what can we do to have a different Ramadan? One is we have a Ramadan. What can we do to have a different Ramadan? Before we come to this, let's just finish this hadith for the sake of taking benefit from the Mubarak hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you stand up for your salah, perform the salat of a person that is bidding farewell. The second part of the hadith, وَلَا تُكَلِّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. Don't say any word. Don't say anything that tomorrow you have to apologize for. In other words, it was a lie that you said. It was inappropriate words that you used. It was incorrectly addressed. You were not careful how you spoke, whether it be with the physical tongue or whether it be with the tongue of the keyboard, whether it be something that you wrote. Be careful. Don't say anything that you'll have to apologize for. In other words, before you spoke, you gave it a lot of thought, what you are saying, how you are saying. And if you're not sure, remember this golden advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Man samata najah. Man somata naja, that person who remains silent, that person will be saved. He remained silent. He was upset. He was in a fit of anger, but he just remained silent. This is not the right time for me to speak. It shouldn't be such that my emotions are conflating or my emotions are conflicting with the right thinking, and because of that I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'd rather just keep quiet. How often you find a person applying this beautiful advice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He saves his marriage, he saves his business, he saves his friends, he saves so many things. When a person loses himself in a fit of anger, sometimes relationship that is there for over 50 years gets destroyed in a moment. And sometimes a person spoils his relationship with his own parents that gave their whole life for him because of this loss of control. And the last part of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, وَاجْمِعِ الْيَأْسِ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That don't have any hope in anything that people got. That man has got, I'm happy for him, Allah has given him. Whatever he's got as far as his wealth is concerned, his assets are concerned, I'm not having any hope in it. Hey, I hope he gives me something. I hope he shares with me something, or he gives me something. He's put his eyes on the wealth of other people. I don't have any hope in anything that anybody got. He's got, Alhamdulillah, I'm happy for him. What Allah has given me, I'm happy with what I have got. If a person has got this in his life, he will be content. He won't be constantly chasing and chasing and chasing. And until what? How many instances, you know, because we assist people with their deceased estates, how many instances you get where people have gathered up and they have messed up estates? Just this week, one person came to tell me that his family member, father left an estate, massive estate. He said when the son got the money, in the first week he spent 5 million rand on cars. First week, the man worked and worked and worked with the hope that his children will use the money properly. In the first week, 5 million rand he took and he spent it on cars. So another person was just joking. He says that the father didn't know how to spend, the son is showing him how he should spend his money. But this is money. You work and you'll work and it will come and it will be busted. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mafhum, the gist is, which is the most unfortunate person? Which is the most unfortunate? The most unfortunate person is that person who accumulated wealth, and he accumulated wealth but he didn't spend it. He didn't spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he left it. So he didn't earn his jannat. And the person that inherited that money of his took that money and he spent it and he got his jannat. So he inherited this man's money, he spent it and he got his jannat. That man who earned it never spent it and he lost his jannat. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. The month of Ramadan is coming. This is a month of spending. Spend on the poor, spend on the needy. Whatever opportunities we got, spend on the people. Allah Ta'ala will give us the same reward. One sip of water we give those people that are fasting, Allah will give us the reward of the fasting person. We give him one piece of kajur also, one date, Allah will give that person the reward of the fasting person. So this month of Ramadan is coming. Some of the things that we can bring in our lives is tahajjud. We're all up for sehri. Just wake up 15 minutes earlier and we already got the practice for the whole month of Ramadan of tahajjud at one of the prime times that you can read tahajjud at the time of sehri. What it took? It just took 15 minutes waking up earlier. So we're not just having the sehri, but we are giving 15 minutes for tahajjud salat and a few minutes for the tahajjud salat and then we're having the sehri. Allah Ta'ala make it such that the 30 days of practice, a man has become habitual of it, inshallah, after the month of Ramadan, he'll become a tahajjud guzar. Like that, we'll be coming to for salah, for our taraweeh, we'll be coming for our other salahs. Come a little bit early to the masjid, spend a little bit more time in the masjid. There's hope that after Ramadan, a person's heart will be attached to the masjid. This is one of the categories of people that will be given the shade under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Rajul qalbuhu mu'allakum bil masajid. That person whose heart is attached to the masajid, that person whose heart is attached to the masjid, he will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing that we can do, just to finish off, is in the month of Ramadan, we are staying away from all those things that are halal. We can't even have a glass of water in the month of Ramadan. Nobody's got any doubt in it. So can Allah Ta'ala is training us that in the month of Ramadan, you can't even have those things that you got no doubt. Your wife is halal for you. You can't enjoy her whilst fasting. That also you know that is halal. At least after the month of Ramadan, we can stay away from doubtful things. I'll finish off on the saying of Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, Rahmatullah alayhi, say, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَهْوَنَ مِنَ الْوَرْعِ دَعْمَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. The month of Ramadan is the month of fasting. We started off by reading the khutbah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that one of the objectives of fasting is getting taqwa. He says, I haven't seen anything easier than getting wara'. Wara' is a high level of taqwa. I haven't seen any easier way then getting this high level of taqwa is adopting this. Da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. Leave out those things that are doubtful and go for those things that are not doubtful. Where there's no doubt, it's clear, there's nothing ambiguous about it. Go in that angle and take those things that are unambiguous, whether it's in our business, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in our domestic lives, anything that there's a doubt in, I leave it out. I'm only going for clear. He says, I haven't seen an easier way to reaching the high level of piety. Which one of us don't want to reach there? May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala make it such that this Ramadan be a different Ramadan. All we need to do is change the mindset and get the mindset of a Muslim and think that this is my last Ramadan and then see how the difference will come in a person's life in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.